It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, welcome back once more. This is a brand new episode of Golf is Ruining My Life with self Tom Price and him, Tom Green. Hello, him.
Into the breach, dear friends. Once more, unto the breach.
Oh, God.
The breach of golf, the breach of podcasting, the breach of life.
Yeah.
Is that? There's a famous quote, I think, from some explorers when he leaves the tent and says, "I may be some time," and he walks off to his death.
Yeah, that was like an Arctic explorer.
And that's what it's like sometimes on the first with golf. You're walking off to your inevitable death.
I certainly feel like that when I go looking for balls in the woods. And if, you know, when you say to people, "Do you know what, guys? You just crack on and putt out, and I may be some time." And then you just sort of drift into the woods, and you know you're not going to find your ball. And usually, I don't know about you, but I find a dozen Strixons.
Yellow Strixons to throw away.
I mean, that is a great question. What is the golf ball you find most commonly in the woods? For me, it's Strixons.
Top Flight. I still find a lot of Top Flights knocking around, and I just don't have any time for a Top Flight in my bag.
I mean, are Top Flights even still being made?
I don't think you can still buy them, but there is... Maybe it's just because when I see them, I have like, oh, Jesus, Top Flight. Oh, my God. I just think I find them quite a lot, and I never, ever use them.
No, there was a moment. Top Flight had a moment, probably before you were playing, when everyone was playing Titleist Ballatas, and a lot of people got in. I'm sure there was a Top Flight
Ballata.
people got into them then.
Ballata is before my golf in life. Yeah. So Ballata is one of those things that I hear people reference, but it doesn't really mean anything to me. What was it? Just an old school golf ball?
Very soft. It was incredibly soft. So Ballata was...
It was pre-Pro V1.
It was way pre-Pro V1. This is back in the 90s. And they were very, very soft, and they would honestly last sometimes not even a whole round. They were cut really, really badly. So you were basically playing with... It was a bit like you were playing with a lump of flesh.
Eventually it would be torn apart.
And it would be torn apart really, really quickly. And now, they're vintage. You can now get them online. So, for example, if you wanted some Top Flight XL Ballatas, how much would you pay for those on eBay?
Probably a lot of money now, because you won't be able to buy them anymore. They'd be a fortune.
Mm.
Are you going to have a look? Because I've got some things that I want to...
I want
to do a few emails to start the show this week.
Well, let me just seal this off, mate, because I'm looking at it now. 30 quid. 30 quid.
How many? For 12?
Yeah. 30 quid. I mean, that's not far off how much it costs for... Probably was. Ballata, right, here we are, is the dried latex of a tropical American tree, the Manicara and especially M. bidentata of the Sapodilla family, that is similar to gutta percha and is used especially in belting and golf balls. Basically, you had a mulched up belt that you were hitting around a...
Wow.
Yeah.
Belting. Never before did I think that belting and golf...
Yeah.
Where would those things... intersect, and the intersection
over.
Is the Titleist Ballata.
Yeah, exactly. What are you working in? Oh, mate, I work in belting. I never thought of that as an industry. Love
no,
it.
Neither did I. I thought you meant hitting someone at the start, but that's just because I'm northern. Give him a good belt. Belt him. One of my favourite things that ever happens on this show is when we get emails from you lovely listeners, and we get so many of them, and I really want to encourage everyone to send emails our way. It's thetoms@golfisruiningmylife.co.uk, because we love the time that you put into sending them, and I love it when I get a little bing on my phone and I look down, it's someone that has emailed the podcast. But there's a few that I want to go through, Tom, if that's all right.
Yeah, let's have a look at emails.
Hey, Ali, saying, "Dear the Toms, I think you need to lengthen the podcasts. Half an hour just isn't cutting it anymore. Stick an extra 15 minutes on an episode. Give the people what they want. Mm. Also, have you run out of Tour Pro V1s already? I think you only gave two away. Next time, wear some trousers with Deka pockets so you can steal more." I've actually got loads. We can start giving those away on the podcast again if you want, Tom.
Yeah, and if in doubt, I've got some Bellatis as well. So yeah, either will be absolutely fine. Can you imagine if we send some Bellatis? Enjoy. It'll last. Yeah.
And on that, on the lengthening the shows, I know this is a little bit of an off podcast chat that I'm bringing to the podcast, but that we've had conversations recently about launching a sort of more shows with this thing and maybe doing a Patreon. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I quite like the half hour format because I can, you know, I can really get stuck in, and I just worry that if we go for 45 minutes, actually, what am I talking about? What happens? Let's let them in on this, Tom. When we finish recording, we just sit and talk about golf for another 15 minutes anyway. Yeah. What we should do is just record that, slap it on a Patreon for £2, and we'll make money for Bellatis.
Yeah, that's the thing. With these patrons, it's essentially the idea is that you can buy me and Tom a beer to say, thanks for all the time that you're going to making this podcast and putting it online and doing the TikToks and all this kind of stuff. Here's a beer. And you just send us £3 or whatever. So we could do we would put more episodes of the podcast in a Patreon thing. Yeah. And then for the big fans of the show, you can go and sign into Patreon and become part of that little crew. And we could put more episodes on there, or maybe we could do some rounds of golf on there with people and do some sort of exclusive videos of me and Tom playing golf.
I mean, obviously,
is that
Tom,
something people would want?
It's very, very important that one of the bands on Patreon is called the Gimme Circle. That's the most elite crew, right?
Hashtag Gimme Gang.
Hashtag Gimme Gang. That's what it was, the Gimme Gang. Yeah, I think, I mean, and also we could do a thing where, like, I really want to meet some of these listeners and play golf with them, like, and maybe do a thing where we all meet up and actually, I don't know, play some actual golf, and it can ruin our lives together collectively. Maybe that's a band on Patreon as well.
Yeah, we just wanted to start putting it out there that would there be an interest in us doing a Patreon for the big fans of the show, and it's a way of us doing a little bit more content for you and getting a gang of people together. So let us know. The Tom's golf is ruining our life. Go. Oh, what's the email?
That's it. No, what you just said, the noise you just made.
Thanks.
The Tom's at golfisruiningmylife.co.uk.
Cart.uk. The Tom's at golfisruinmylife.co.uk if that is something that you fancy. But Ali, it's something that we are chatting about behind the scenes of the show.
Can I tell you something incredible which I found the other day?
Yes.
And it has become a slightly inward looking episode, and I apologise in advance. But I was looking at our reviews online, right? Which are all absolutely lovely. And if you go onto a certain website, you can see reviews from around the world.
Okay.
And then I was looking at those, and they're all five stars, which is delightful. Although, to be fair, we do spend a lot of time on the show going, give us five stars.
Please.
But I wanted to say hello to Clogmonger. I don't know if that's their real name. I deliver mail in South Dakota, USA, and listen to your podcast out on my route. Love you guys. Keep up the good work.
That's a crazy image, isn't it? That silly little thing that we do here is over in South Dakota right now.
Could you imagine you and I walking through South Dakota and someone saying, hey, I'm just listening to your podcast? I found that utterly, utterly baffling. And also, delightfully, it points to how international golf is. If you play golf, doesn't matter where you are in the world, you're still going to love this.
Hello to... You sent an email saying, hi guys, I just listened to your most recent episode regarding the high-end golf clubs joining. I recently worked at one of the highest regarded golf clubs in Europe, possibly the world. I had to sign various waivers, etc. So if you can leave my name blank. Well, I've just said your name.
Beep it out, Tom. You're just going to have to you're going to have to beep out the course as well.
I can leave the course in, but I think, maybe I can't.
No, I wouldn't. Just call it. It's a great course. Bleep, bleep. And thanks so much to Bleep for getting in touch with us.
So the name earlier would have been Bleep. So our lovely listener here worked at a very high-end golf club in Scotland. I think I can say that.
Yeah, that's fine. Legally, hang on, let me just check with the lawyers. They say that's fine.
So this listener used to work at a high-end golf club in Scotland. They had to sign various waivers. The joining fee is $100,000.
Excuse me.
And around $10,000 a month.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry. There must have been some problem in the line there because it sounded like you said $100,000.
Yeah, according to this listener who was, I mean, they worked there, so they would know. $100,000
to join, and then sorry, what was the membership once you've joined?
$10,000 a month.
$10,000 a month.
He continues, obviously the money is ridiculous for average people, but if you could see the facilities, they are a joke. There is so many high-end names there, but only around 650 members or so. And they are shutting off UK members and wanting more overseas members. I bet because the overseas members will pay the money and not even play that much.
It's the absolute dream, isn't it? It's the I was sort of half thinking about this, not joining that place, but I was thinking about getting a... You can get a... Is it called a country membership when you don't actually live near the course and you just play a few times a year?
Country membership is a very interesting one.
Well,
go
I just
on.
There's a place down in Kent that I always play, and I talk about a lot on the show, Littlestone. I really love it. And I was maybe browsing their website the other day. I say that like it was sort of porn. Like my wife comes up, what are you doing? Nothing, nothing. Delete the cookies, delete the cookies.
Private browsing.
Yeah, I was just looking and I could see, it's still quite expensive. It's like 700 quid a year.
Wow, that's a lot for country membership.
It may have been less actually, but there may have been joining fees as well. But anyway, it was an amount of money where I thought, it's just a little bit out of it. Great, a beautiful course. And I think the only problem with it is you get to a point where you think, well, look, how many times a year am I going to play? Ergo, how much is that costing me around? And as soon as you do those maths, the game's over. You know what I mean?
I consider getting country membership at Silithon Solway.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a lovely golf course. I've played it. I've spoken about it loads on this show. Mm. And you can get country membership for a couple of hundred quid, but it's just so far to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
It's a really clever way, though. If you have a part of the world that you go to a lot on holiday and you always end up playing golf there and there's a course that you love, or maybe you don't mind travelling a little bit on a special weekend to go and play golf, it is worth looking at country membership because the fees are far reduced from what the full membership would be. My uncle's got country membership at Conway, an amazing golf course.
Beautiful. In Wales.
In Wales, yeah. And he lives in Manchester, so it's not too far. You can just about justify the drive, and it's a good way
How
of getting cheap
often
membership.
Does he use it then? That's the question. How many rounds a year do you reckon? I know this is a pretty random question to ask you. How many rounds a year do you reckon your uncle plays at Conway Golf Course?
I think he plays quite a lot because he works in property development and he does a lot of like away days with people and takes people to play there and does corporate days. So I think he gets his money's worth, but you'd have to play quite a lot to justify it. But it's something that I've looked at because there's a course in the Lake District where I used to spend a lot of time, not so much recently, but you spend a lot of time there. And there was a course called Grangeover Sands Golf Course that you would pay £30 a round or whatever. But country membership, 130 quid.
Oh, yeah.
So it only takes a few rounds and it's mathematically makes sense just to go and do the country membership.
It just feels incredibly... scandalously kind of like a wealthy thing to do. You know what I mean? It's almost like having a second home. It just feels like the sort of thing you want to drop into conversation with other golfers. Yeah, I've got a country membership. I divide my golfing time between Muswell Hill and Littlestone. I like the idea of it. I think the reality is it'll be like my Soho House membership. I'll go once a year, then leave. Do you know what I mean?
Logan said, love the show, guys, and love you both. Tom, you are my new father. Do you want me to keep going through these emails? Because we've got loads to go through and I'm really enjoying them.
This is becoming a sort of admin episode. Why not? Good.
Lewis. Mm-hmm. Louis. That'd be Lewis, won't it?
That's a Louis. For me, that feels Louis-ish.
Louis! Yeah. Okay, fine. It's just my bad. My bad reading ability.
I think it's Louis' parents' bad, to be honest, for going for such an outlandish name.
Hello, the Toms. I hope you're both well. Thank you for the pod. I started listening this year. Came across you from TikTok. Haven't abused you guys in the comments, so I feel like I'm in the gimme gang.
That's all you got to do to get in the gimme gang.
Just don't abuse us.
Just be moderately okay to us on TikTok and it's fine.
I actually got a message from one of the guys that works with Peter Finch today saying he was loving the podcast. And I was like, have you seen us from the abuse online?
it's unbelievable how often we're just doing what we do on this. It's all it is clips from this episode, from this podcast, from doing this. And anyone who's listened to this knows that we're hardly saying controversial stuff. We're just sort of shooting the shit and just riffing on stuff. And yet people will always find something to argue about. They will always find a moment in a sentence one of us has said and they'll just go, no, this guy... And then they leap to these conclusions like, this guy clearly doesn't play golf. And you just think, sorry, what? What do you mean? Like, it's so mad.
He continues, I had my first ever lesson last night after starting golf last April. Couldn't believe the improvement. And it was basically an email to maybe chat about, as I think for beginners, all you want to do is go to the range and whack your driver with an incorrect setup and then turn up to the course and shoot 120. Definitely agree. Lessons over clubs. I had an old set of TaylorMade RAC irons from my mate's dad, but I feel like a couple more lessons and I'd be so much better than buying an expensive set of new clubs. Feeling a lot more confident now and I wish I'd just gone for lessons when I started in April, as I got the bug so quickly. Thanks for the pods and keep up the work, Louis/Louis.
I think that, obviously, I think he's right, because we were talking about that the other day, and you just always take lessons over kit. But the thing that strikes me about that is that moment, every time you have a lesson, where they say, try this, go on, it feels weird, doesn't it? It feels weird. And then you do it, and you strike the ball in a whole new way. You know what I mean? And it's just like, oh, yeah, my standards have just gone up by 10%. Now, if anything, my life as a golfer is worse because I expect more.
Because you've had a few lessons, and you now think you're better.
I now know how well I can flush a ball. Because of these lessons, I'm now hitting the ball in a totally different way, which is what will often happen with good lessons. You'll do something totally different, and then you play golf with that. It almost puts more pressure on your game, which is why famously, you have lessons, you're going to play badly for a while.
Yeah, you're always going to go off the boil a little bit, I think. I think that's pretty standard. That's why I'm so scared of going into lessons right now, is because I worry it's gonna throw me off my game just before I get into summer. And that's what you did though, wasn't it? Last year you had all those lessons with the humping the goat. Sounds wrong if you've only just listened.
God, so wrong.
And it took you to the end of summer to get that into
it
your head.
It is unbelievable. Let's go to ads, because I've got a lot to say on this, and I can't get this done in 20 seconds, Tom. Sorry, I just can't.
Here's some ads.
Welcome back to Golfers Ruining My Life. So yes, as we were just discussing, I had lessons at the beginning of last year, and I spent all of last summer not playing as well as I did the summer before. Every now and again, I was spraying it a bit more, but every now and again, as I was saying before, I could hit the ball in a totally different way. It went higher and truer, and I was shaping the ball in a different way. But I just couldn't put a score together, and I couldn't play that well. My handicap was sort of... it was okay. It was like around 6-7, which is great, but I felt like I could get it down to 2 or 3. I felt like the summer before it was that good. This year I've started really, really well, because it feels like those lessons that I had have bedded in. It's taken that long to work out what the most important couple of messages from the lessons were. You kind of have to take the 2 or 3 headlines. Not even that, 1 or 2 headlines. For me, got to get flatter at the top of my backswing. I come up too steep. I need to go around my body more.
The opposite.
Well, that's
me.
You know, it's a height thing, isn't it? It's a height thing. If you're tall, people tend to go up steeper. Anyway, as a result of that, one thought, oh yeah, Howard said, get your hands around the back there. I played the other day, Tom. I played 9 holes with the dogs.
Oh, and yeah, I know this.
Amos and John. And I missed, how many putts? I missed 4 putts that were all under 6 feet, and they were all holeable, and I shot 2 over.
So you should have been
so
2 under.
I really, there's a should slash could vibe there, but I was just, because I was just coming right, I was going right to top of my backswing. All these little moments last year where I'd had a bad week, each of those was a little sort of, I'm struggling, like an ingredient in this recipe, right? Each of those
this is a lesson.
This little thing, like last August, I kept doing this thing, and it really drove me mad. But that was a little bit of flour in the pot. And then in early September, I wasn't quite doing this thing, and I spent a few days really struggling with that. Well, that little lesson with my wrists, that is a little bit of salt in the pot. And suddenly, I like this analogy, suddenly you go, I've got a cake. And I genuinely...
I've got a golf cake.
And I genuinely feel like... all those little things, and that has taken me 9 months to bed in. And I think you have to be really, really patient, which famously I am. You have to trust in it as well. And again, a big reason for me was to avoid my back getting injured. So that has meant that even when it goes a bit wrong, you have to stick with it. It's totally worth it. Get lessons. I think Tom, a thing we should talk about on this show is getting you into lessons. I think it would be a really interesting few episodes of this if we got you to a top pro, got you a couple of lessons to see what happened, because I think you've already improved massively in the last year, and I think you'd get very good.
So here's a point I wanted to make, because we've gone on very different golfing journeys recently with my house move and the weight loss that I've been on and all this other stuff. I've not been playing as much as I would like. So let's look at your game of golf, right? How do you think you're playing right now compared to last year and compared to the year before? Do you think you're getting better?
Definitely. I think that last year, I didn't quite know what I was trying to do. I felt like every swing was a mystery. The year before, I was hitting the ball straighter and truer. And then last year was more about discovering stuff. I could go higher, I could shape it. And now I've sort of combined the last 2 years. So I know that I can do a certain thing when I need to. I feel like I trust it. A couple of years ago, I trusted that I could do it. Last year, I lost my trust, but discovered loads of other things. Now I've got trust and flexibility, and I feel like I'm apps on the brink of playing really, really, really good stuff.
Do you think you've got a scratch goal for
100%, in you? I will shoot scratch this year.
And you will get onto it. You will drop that handicap down to scratch.
Drop the handicap down to scratch, because that's impressive. That's pretty serious. That's Holbrook level, mate. That's Holbrook level.
And we can only dream.
I mean,
afternoon, hello, Matthew.
It won't be afternoon. He'll be listening to this in the morning as soon as it comes out.
Oh, he's phasing. Yeah, he's a moment this podcast drops, guy, isn't he? Love you, Matt.
I think that to get to scratch as a handicap is mad, but I think this year I will shoot. I'll definitely beat my best, which is 2 over. What about you? So where do you feel you are right now with your golf?
Oh, God. I think that I'm having lots of conversations with golf clubs to join. I had this big thing in my mind that I wanted to go on this really big fitness journey and change everything. And I really loved it and I've really enjoyed it. And I'm going to do the London Marathon. And I'm going to get it done. But I think after that, I'd like fitness to sort of step back in my life a little bit. And I'd like to do more golf again and start playing twice, yes, 3 times a week.
Off scratch, but fat. 2024.
Exactly. It's exactly it. And I think I would like to get down to comfortable single figures. And I just think the things that have changed in my game over the last couple of months, within slowing it down, concentrating on ball strike, that is what's going to get me to that next stage of golf. The lessons that I need to learn, I think, are the same lessons that you need to go from 18 to 14 or from high 30s to low 20s. It's to mitigate the mistakes. It's to take the mistakes out of the game. That's what's going to get me better.
Getting rid of mistakes is vital, but I've used this word already today, and I think this is my current vibe with golf. Trust. I am in this place, maybe it's confidence, where I stand over the ball and I know I know how to do it. And I didn't have that last year. And I think trust is when you're properly getting down to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 handicap. When you can stand there and go, I just know this is going to go good.
There's nothing better than when you get to the 15th, 16th hole of a round of golf and you've been playing well and you can stand on the tee with a driver and hit a ball with confidence, knowing where it's going to go. There is no better feeling.
So we haven't even talked about my drive the other day. So do you remember we did an episode the other day where we were talking about me going after my driver?
Oh, and I told you to sort of pull it off a little bit and relax it and hit at 70%, because by getting a ball out the middle of the club face, you'll find it goes farther further anyway.
So I played the next day. I was playing at 8 a.m. the next morning, right? And I was on the second hole at Muswell Hill, and I hit it approximately, it was a bit downwind, but I hit it back to 70-280. All I could think was, stop going after it, just let the club, like you let a 9-9 do the work, let the club do the work, right? Then I had a chip, and I've got my new chipping thing, which I'm very keen to talk about, and then I chipped it to about a foot away. I've actually done a little voice note like you asked me to. Do you want to hear? I'll hold it right up to the microphone, you can have a listen.
Yeah, of course. So this is live from the course.
This is just after I've hit that drive. Here we go, let's see if this works.
Okay.
So second hole, and sure enough, I have just hit a drive where I did not chase after it. Felt like I was doing 80%. And now on the second Tom, which you know, of course, on Muswell Hill, quite a short par 4. And I am 30 yards short of the green. So that is a 280 drive. And I felt like I was doing nothing when I swung.
By the way, that's not wind. That's just me. Yeah,
is that fast?
My head exploding.
Fine. There's nothing better. You don't have to go after it. And there's nothing nicer than a drive straight down the middle. It makes the whole round so much easier. My big thought this year is gonna be green and reg. Give yourself the chance. Green and reg. Give yourself the chance. Give yourself that 2-putt par. Because that's what I need. That's where my game needs to be, is taking bogeys to pars. Yes. It doesn't need to be birdies. I don't need to be chasing birdies. I need to be getting green in regulation, because I can 2-putt everything.
Of course, your putting's really good. But what I would say is that is a lot of pressure to put on yourself to turn all the bogeys into pars. The way to look at a round and say, well, look, if I'm going to shoot 9 bogeys today and maybe 2 double bogeys, right? Actually, that sounds really bad, but the numbers there would be okay. That'd be like 13 over, right? If you do that.
Mm.
Those 9 bogeys, if you can get 4 or 5 of those on in 2, or, and this is something I want to talk about, up and down. Bring back the scramble. If you can get your scrambling up and running where you get up and down, suddenly that 13 over, that's going to come down to 8 or 9 over without even the excitement of birdies, without even actually all those bogeys, a lot of those can be pars. It's so mathematically right there. You've just got to, A, as you say, you've just got to trust, but you've got to split the fairways. You've got to find the fairways.
Yeah, I think that's, for me, is the big thing is, okay, let's look at a par four. I'm a 10 handicapper, probably paying more like a 12, 14 at the moment. If I can drive it straight down the middle, which I can when I slow things down, the only thing that I need to do from that point, because I'll be in the fairway or I'll just be in the rough, I'll have a shot to the green, is let's not go flag hunting. The only thing I need is get that ball on that green, because you will two put it and it will be fine. And then from that point, I do think it'll stumble down. Par threes I struggle with. I was struggling with par threes recently. It was all over the place. But that's
so
my big thing.
So if you're going into a lesson, right, which I think I want you to do.
Yeah.
I want you to have a couple of lessons, because I think it'd be really...
Maybe it's Dyson time on the line.
Dyson o'clock, mate. Get him in the gimme gang. He'll do it. And his rates have plummeted now. He's only about 150 quid an hour.
Get Dyson on the line.
And this is something I'd like to talk about as well. What is the first thing you say to him? What's the thing you're like, Dr. Dyson, have a look at this. Help me.
My first thing is, Simon, can we play 9 holes? Can you watch my game? And can then you tell me what you think I need to do?
Yeah, that's sensible.
I think that's what I want. I want a pro to watch my game and go, these are the obvious mistakes. This is where I think you're going wrong. Because now I've got this new 7-wood in the bag, which is a comfortable 200-yard shot for me. A club that I never had. I never, ever had a 200-yard club in my bag. And now I've got a 3-wood as well that I'm more confident with. I can go after the par 5s.
Yeah, absolutely. And as summer comes...
Which has made a massive difference.
I mean, the idea of getting out on a par 5 and 2, I think we're all a bit sort of, when we first started playing golf, about that. A lot of us think, oh, that's a bit... Oh, God, I can't, you know, oh, really? No. If you can hit a good, competent 200-yard shot, then you can get on... you can get on at least one par 5 around in 2.
Yeah, I did it the other week. When I had my 5 over that became 8 over, I got on a par 5 in 2.
Unreal what that... I played the 9th the other day when I had my really nice round, hit a gorgeous drive and hit a 3-wood, and it just went into the rubbish by the green. It was just short of the green. 3-wood was fine. I just sort of hit it hard and it was a bit low and left, but it was right by the green. Chip nearly hold the putt for a birdie and got a par. But if you are...
Guaranteed par, isn't it? If you're up by the green, by if your second is up by the green on a par 5, it's a guaranteed par unless you balls
it up. Exactly. So I think that it's management. It's a bit of both. It's management, but it's also confidence, and it's a mind trick, and just saying, I trust my swing. I'm going to just do the thing I know I can do.
God, I want to play golf right now. Back to emails. On another route. Tom's, I just got back from 3 days at Turnberry. I shot an 81. Ooh. Oh, dear God, that sounds good.
That's great.
On what can only be described as a perfect day. What a resort experience. If you haven't got the Ailsa on your list, you need to get it on there as soon as possible. I do, and I can't wait.
Yes.
This listener then followed up with another email. Tom's, I left out the best bit. For the 2 rounds I played at Turnberry, I had a caddy named Frank.
Yes, I've seen this.
Hey,
yes,
Frank.
I love this. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank. This was a bit of a life goal and a... can't say that word, something me moment. Frank is a bit special. He's assistant caddy master and is the only caddy allowed to caddy for Donald Trump when he comes over.
So he's the one who Trump pays when he drops balls on the fairway, not to tell anyone. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Let's keep any political opinions out of this.
I won't be doing that.
Okay, fine. He's even caddied for Lee Westwood. Anyway, he had Frank on the bag. I know none of us really like Donald Trump, but let's just consider him as a nice American man for this story. He was very respectful about Mr. Trump and spoke about him like they were best mates. Safe to say, I got some amazing tales. This was my first experience with a caddy and I kind of feel like I won the caddy lottery. It sounds like you did. You sounds like he's played with some, especially Lee Westwood, some great golfers.
I think we need to get... Chris on a course and try and get these stories out of him, to be honest. This is what we're going to do.
He said he got me thinking, have you guys ever had a caddy? I had tons of questions in my head before I arrived, the do's and the don'ts. The anticipation of what to expect was huge. The whole experience just exceeded all expectations. Could be great content to discuss caddy hire for amateurs on those special occasions. The cost, what to expect, the benefits, effects on your game, club selection, possible drawbacks, none to my mind, tipping, etiquette, even bad contents. Maybe even get an anonymous guy's producer the show at this stage. An anonymous caddy. Just thought. Sort of. Anyway, I'll get back to my bottle of red. If you ever want a round of golf, hit me up, Chris. That's from lovely Chris.
That's
thanks,
a great
Chris.
One. Thank you so much. And yes, we will definitely hit you up for a round of golf. So we get a caddy a bit like the Stig on Top Gear. It's completely anonymized. But someone who's done.
Yes.
I find a few of my friends have used caddies often abroad. It seems to happen.
Have you ever had a caddy?
No, but they say it's worth like 10 shots because they're putting mainly. They literally, especially when you're on a course you don't know and you're spraying it everywhere. They give you the line, you screw it up, and they go, "This is the chip, hit it over there." It's all about the short game.
I would find that so useful as well because I think give me the line. And I'm an all right putter. It's just when I'm not 100% sure with what I'm doing that I can go off. If I've got a caddy that's going over there, mate, just hit it. Having that confidence, I think, would really improve my game. You know, I tried to get a caddy at Birkdale when I played Birkdale.
What happens?
You had to book them sooner than when I wanted to, which was 10 minutes before the tea time. And to be fair, I'm really glad I didn't because we all know I had a pretty tough time around Birkdale a few episodes, seasons ago. Okay. But I would really like one. I'd love to experience it because I think it'd be an amazing thing to do. And there's a lot of courses, like if you play the old course, you have to have one.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, actually, just to speed you around there. Well, listen, if you are a caddy or you know a caddy, let us know. The Tom's at golfwasruiningmylife.co.uk. Or if you've had a caddy, what was it like? Was it worth it? When I was at the K Club last year for Ronan's thing, there were a couple of people with caddies who were...
Have you taught us that, mate?
Sorry, I just dropped that.
Have you just dropped something? It's Ronan. Can you just pick that up?
Just put that there. And the caddies were quite sort of... The cliche of a caddy, really, is a grizzled old man. You know what I mean? That sort of vibe. Yeah. Who... just knew everything about the course and was very unimpressed by the G-list celebrities everywhere, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
And that's what you got grizzled old man. Yeah, exactly. Brilliant.
I think I'm becoming a caddy, Tom. Listen, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. Thank you very much for all your emails. We are available 24/7, thetoms@golfersruiningmylife.co.uk. And also, let us know what you think about Patreon. Would you be up for that? I mean, we'd charge like £3 a month or something, wouldn't we? It would just be pretty basic.
I like the idea of saying it's basically you just buying us a pint. Once a month, you buy me and Tom a pint, say thanks for the pod, lads, and then we'll give you a load more content and episodes and shows and videos. And I watched our YouTube video a few days ago of me and you playing Muswell Hill. I really enjoyed it. And it made me want to get out there and do more of that. And if we had a Patreon and there was some, like, you know, there's a way of us doing more of this, I would love to go out and do it more. And having a Patreon is a really good way of doing that. So if that's something you guys want to see, let us know. The Tom's at golfisruiningmylife.co.uk. Let us know if you'd want it. That would be a good way of us knowing whether this is worth it, is if you email thetoms@golfisruiningmylife.co.uk. If you want us to do a Patreon, if you want more episodes, let us know and it's something we can do. Can I do one fact before we go? So we did a whole thing recently on our TikTok about whether you are allowed to put a stand bag on a tee. And did you see everyone's amazing fact about St Andrews?
No.
At St Andrews, you are encouraged, even with a trolley, to take your trolleys onto the tees to speed up play. Next time you're shouted at a golf course for bringing your trolley on there, go, "Well, at the home of golf."
That is so good.
Good fact, right?
Always good to end on a good
home fact. Of golf encourages it.
Whatever happens at the home of golf happens to all of us. That's the nature of golf, guys. We just follow those guys. That's what we do. Podcast Network.